Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Project Love podcast. This week, we are doing our podcast online. Selena is in the beautiful place of Hope Cove in Devon at the moment. This week, she just showed me a picture of her beach view while she's recording this podcast. That got me very jealous. And I am sat in my flat in Dalston, in comparison, with a less sexy view. And so today, we're going to talk about 28 Days of Love, our self-love challenge that we're doing again this year. We got so many responses from you asking us to do it again. And we've both been really excited about kicking off this self-love challenge again. And so we are going to be today reflecting on a whole weekend of self-love that we've been doing for ourselves and some of your acts of self-love that we're going to be celebrating. And then we're going to be talking about some of the resistance that we've experienced in previous years of doing this challenge and how they compare to today. And then we're going to be talking about lessons that we've learned over the years and how to get involved in 28 Days of Love, whether you've never done it before or whether you've done it in previous years and you want to do it again with us, perhaps to deepen your self-love practice or to up your self-love game. So it doesn't matter where you are on that self-love journey, whether you're just starting out and trying self-love for the first time, or whether you're wanting to do 28 Days of Love to deepen your practice or amp up your self-love, then come and join the challenge. You can head on over to loveprojectlove.com/28daysoflove to see how to get involved and to see lots and lots of ideas of things that you can do to get started. So without further ado, let's talk about it. Selena, where do you want to start?
Well, I have to say, I have been loving 28 Days of Love so far. So we're only a few days in at this point of recording. But I've already noticed what a difference from last year and previous years when we've done it. And I think for me, that's so exciting because it just shows how it really is a matter of, this is something that you practice. And if you practice it, you do get better at it. Because in other years, I put so much pressure on myself to like do really interesting acts of love, or it wasn't enough what I was doing. It wasn't interesting enough. And then just also just a resistance to self-love, a kind of sense that, oh, am I that kind of person? And just a real deep-rooted resistance to the whole practice of doing loving things for myself that come from that, you know, kind of narrative that, is it a little bit like self-indulgence and all that stuff that I used to have going on? And because over the years, we've really challenged it and we've really talked about it, this time starting 28 Days of Love, I was like, this couldn't be easier. Why was I making, you know, why was I making such a fuss about it before? And I do understand, like I say, because there was all that resistance, but I have just thoroughly enjoyed it. There's no pressure. Each day I've done, oh my God, the first day, I had a nap. I think it was, the second day, because the first day was Friday. So second day, Saturday, I had a nap. And I really, I'm not a napper. I love the idea of it, but I don't ever actually do it. And I could, you know what? I started to feel like as if I had a cold coming on. I went, you know what? I didn't get enough sleep last night. And sleep is my big self-care thing. Like that is what keeps me healthy and happy, is having enough sleep. So I went upstairs, I had a nap. I couldn't tell you if it's half an hour or an hour. I've no idea. But when I woke up, that feeling that I was getting ill had gone. And I was just like, it really can be that simple. Then yesterday, we're in the middle of storms here down by the coast. So there's no like, not much going out. And I thought, what am I going to do? And I just thought, what's the easiest thing I could do? I did a 3-minute meditation. Like, that's all it took. And I was like, that felt really good. There you go, done. And actually then on Sunday, when there was, I went out, I could feel my body feeling like, oh, restless. And it's more about now checking in with my body and going, what do you need? What is this restlessness? And there's part of me that just wanted to get outside. So I put on my wet weather gear, got out in the rain. Oh, and it just felt amazing. I was like howling into the wind and letting the rain fall into my, took my hood off, just let myself be drenched in the rain. And that was my Sunday act of self-love.
Wow. Brilliant.
It's been great. It has been, and it has come with so much ease, and which really is so different to previous years, which, like I say, is just drives home the message that we're always putting out there, that this is just, it's a matter of practice. And if I go back, say, 10 years, even 7 years, I was so, so bad at loving myself. I wasn't even close to loving myself. I was bad at self-care, let alone self-love. So it's proof that you can step-by-step practice, and it does become easier and easier and more like second nature.
Yeah. Yeah. I found the same. I was listening to the podcast that we did last year at the end of the challenge. And I remember talking about the fact that some of the resistance for me was the guilt at practicing self-love or spending time that I thought could be better spent doing other things that were more valuable in inverted commas. And that was a really interesting insight. And this year, like already, I mean, it's 4 days in and there's no guilt whatsoever. And I've realized that actually since last year, all the little things that I was doing during the challenge, they appear in my day really effortlessly and naturally. So it feels like I'm just sort of like it's an invitation to up my game and really deepen my practice and do just make little tweaks to things I'm already doing, rather than, like, you know, in previous years, particularly in 2016 when we were doing it, I remember like how much of an effort it was to do these little things for myself every day. And now it just feels like, you know, they already appear. And now during the challenge, I'm going to be, you know, thinking like, how can I make little tweaks to these acts of love? So on Saturday, I was walking my dog around the park, and this is a weekend ritual that I love to do that helps me to connect with myself and just be in stillness. So no podcast during this walk, just complete stillness and presence. And I decided to stop off for brunch at there's this really beautiful lake in the park, or maybe it's a big pond in the park where I walk.
Not sure I know the difference. Yeah,
a big body of water. and I sat there and had brunch, me and Buddy, my dog, and just, it was so nice just having this 20-minute stop off during my walk and just like reflecting and just watching the water and the swans and the ducks and just that little moment of connection with myself during the walk that I do anyway, but I rarely would stop and have, you know, this lovely sort of lakeside brunch with myself. And so that was a really nice addition to my ritual. And just making those little tweaks, as you say, it can be a few minutes. And in those few minutes, you just feel that rush of your own love. And that can like totally change your experience of your day.
Yeah, exactly. And I think so much of it is about just asking yourself, what do I need in this moment? Or what can I do to show myself some love? And it can be really simple stuff. And it can be, sometimes it's nourishing food, sometimes it's stillness. So often it's stillness, you know, time to switch off your phone and just allow yourself to reflect, you know, getting out in nature, you know, connecting with yourself. I think another great way of looking at it is, you know, we've talked about the five languages of love before in relation to how you like to give and receive love.
Yeah.
Like with a partner. But yeah. I think it applies exactly the same. And I think in the past, I was always stuck on thinking that acts of love was all about treating myself.
Yeah.
Giving myself a treat. So it was like, oh, okay, today, what can I do? Okay, I must buy myself flowers. I must give myself something special. I must write myself a love letter. All that, like as if this pressure to get this real romance on the go. And sometimes, yeah, it's lovely. It's really special to romance yourself and give yourself romance. But when I went out in the rain the other day, my body needed to move. And you know what the question I've started asking myself, which is a new one, and I've started asking clients, is what lifts your spirits? Like, just what lifts your spirits? And it could be music, a kind of music that like lifts you up, or it could be reading some beautiful poetry that lifts you up. But for me in that moment, it was just getting out in nature and just feeling the wind and the rain in my face, and it just fed my soul and lifted my spirits. So I think taking the pressure off of it being some big romantic gesture or treating myself, it's now much more about, you know, loving myself in different ways. And sometimes it's just nourishing myself or having an early night. And other times it is buying myself flowers or writing myself a loving message. And I think it's just taking that time to tune in and ask yourself, what do I actually need in this moment? I think also the big thing that I really learned last year was the importance of that loving voice. Because I remember using this example last year that I was like, right, given myself an act of self-love today, and it's the end of the day and I'm feeling tired. I was like, I know, I'll just run myself a bubble bath. And I noticed myself doing it with this sort of frustrated efficiency, like, there you go, put yourself. And I was like, whoa, there is nothing loving about this. You can light a candle and put some bubbles in there, but if you're doing it in this sort of frustrated, you know, let's get this over and done with way, then it's not an act of self-love, is it? And really recognizing it was that tone of voice that made all the difference. And I think that's what's really carried through. I think last year, you know, every time we do it, we both say, don't we, God, I needed that. And I knew as soon as we said, right, let's do it again this year, we both went, I think I really need this. We always need it. But I think what it did last year, I learned so much in it. I released a lot of resistance, really inquired into what that resistance was, which if you feel resistance, you know, I really encourage, you know, you to think about that. And it's so important, isn't it, to kind of inquire into that resistance, because as you inquire into it and understand it, you help to release it. And I think I did a lot of that last year, but also really tuning into recognizing, you know, we talk about this a lot, turning the volume down on your inner shitty committee and turning the volume up on that inner loving voice. Mm-hmm. Something happened for me last year where I realized that is the most important thing for me. And it could be, because that's the most important thing for everyone, but it also could be for me, the way I most enjoy receiving love is through positive affirmations and, you know, speaking to me in a loving and supportive way. I would take that any day over big romantic gestures or gifts or practical help or the other kind of languages of love. And I think that's really carried through. So I think the 28 Days of Love last year really got me into the practice, and without even having the intention of it, I definitely carried it through throughout the year. So I think that's why this time it's felt so much easier, because whatever I do, even if it's a 3-minute meditation, whereas last time I think I would have gone, well, I mean, 3 minutes isn't exactly a lot, is it? I would have like, how, that's not very Instagrammable. How am I going to Instagram that? Whereas this year we haven't insisted that we Instagram our every self-love act, and we've been gentler on ourselves. But I think also, just the way I'm speaking to myself has improved so much since last year. And I think that's what's made it so much easier.
It's really interesting, the thing you were saying about these gestures, because it's the same about it's the same with romantic love, isn't it? That, you know, these big romantic gestures are really heroed and celebrated in, you know, the rom-coms and portrayals of love that we see out there. And yes, they're, you know, they're really beautiful. You see them on Instagram and YouTube, these like big declarations of love, but they can be also problematic as well, because they give you this impression that love, that's the sort of proof of love. And actually, like, they can be a part of your love, but it doesn't always, it's not like the indication of love, having these gestures all the time. And it's the same with your relationship with yourself. They can be really lovely, writing yourself a Valentine's Day card and a love letter, flowers, but you know, it's actually, it doesn't have to be always these big gestures. It's actually tuning into how you feel love, like how you give and receive love, and in your language, like you say. I think that's such an important distinction. And I actually give the quiz, the love languages quiz, to clients to see what their self-love language is so that they can practice self-love in their language.
And that's been so cool.
Yeah, so that's, for some people it is gifts, and gifts is one of the five acts of one of the five languages of love that Gary Chapman, the founder of that concept, that he teaches. And gifts, for some people it's so powerful, buying yourself gifts or buying gifts for others. And we have the same ones, don't we? Words of affirmation and quality time. And of course. And I just like, when I spend quality time with myself, oh my God. Like, and it doesn't need to be like, it can be just 20 minutes of just time journaling. And that time with me is so sacred. And it really fills me up with love in a way that some of the other sort of languages of love don't. And it's like different for everybody, isn't it? We'll actually put a quiz into the show notes if you want to do this and find out what your self-love language is.
Yeah, I think that's a brilliant idea. And I think it's also, you know, I remember last year, I felt so time poor, and I also felt absolutely exhausted. And so a big lesson for me as well was to, you know what, if you manage two minutes of switching off your phone, closing your eyes, and just lying on the bed and letting your whole body relax, that will make a difference. You know, we really look at it like tiny steps. And the other thing I would say, last year, I just kept rinsing and repeat on the same self-love acts. So don't feel the pressure of having to do a different one every day. I was so tired last year that I just, most of my acts of love were to give myself an early night, to switch off my phone at 6 p.m. and not switch it back on until the next day. To lie down on the bed and relax for 5 minutes before I had to go and do the school pickup, to, you know, have a lie in on the Saturday for an hour. Like, it was so much of it was around rest and sleep and rest and sleep. So it's, you know, it sounded a bit like a broken record, but that at the time is what I really, really needed. And this time I've got a bit more energy. So this time I'm, you know, being a bit more creative and bringing a bit more variety into it. But that's because I can. And last year, I did not. This time also, I'm starting off in Devon, you know, by the coast, which I love. And if there's anything that lifts my spirits, it's being by the sea, and particularly in this place. But last year, I didn't have that. So, you know, it's also recognizing that what energy and what do you have available, and working within that. So last year I just had to be like, you know what, if right now I don't have much time and I'm absolutely exhausted, then that's, my acts of self-love are going to be based around that.
Yes, exactly. And that's so important, that self-compassion and meeting yourself where you are, using what you have available at the time, and then building up from there. Like, not seeing all these other sort of the ways that other people practice self-love and thinking that that's going to work for you. It's all sort of in the process of experimenting, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. God, you might be, you know, you might see other people practicing self-love, because we're sharing on Instagram and stories and stuff what everyone else is up to. And it's so inspiring to see what people are doing. And it is lovely to see, actually, one day someone made herself homemade hummus.
Yes,
brilliant. That's fantastic. But then you also see people, I'll never forget, Rachel, in 2016, I still remember the picture where she went, trampolining, and they had such a good time. It was so playful. And I was like, wow, you know, to go to the effort of going out and trampolining. You might look at that and think, oh God, I don't have the energy for it. Well, you don't need to do that. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, don't put pressure on yourself to have to do impressive, Instagrammable acts of self-love. Do you know what? If it was a bubble bath every single night for 28 days, because actually that is exactly what you're craving and what your body needs.
Yeah.
Then that's it. And I also think the other thing, sometimes that you might be going through a time where your shitty committee is turned up really high. And the whole notion of self-love feels alien, like an alien concept, like it's something that other people do and you could never be that person. And I've been in that place before and I've seen plenty of clients in that place. And I think it's really important, again, that you just go really gently, like you say, Vicky, that self-compassion. Because if you've never, particularly if you've had a difficult childhood where you weren't shown love in the way you really needed to, then it can be really hard to know what it even is to love yourself. Mm-hmm. So self-compassion is so important. And also I think start with self-nourishment. You know, that's the foundation. Think, okay, if self-love feels like too big a leap, think about what can I do to a little bit of nourishment for myself every day? Or if you do want to practice getting that, you know, turning the volume down in your inner shitty committee and turning the volume up on that inner loving voice, if you manage, write 1 minute a day of speaking to yourself kindly, then that is a big step. If you've 24/7, you've got the shitty committee on. If you manage 1 minute in your day where it's turned down and you speak to yourself like you would a best friend, like you would to someone you love, like you would to someone you want to support and be kind to, then that 1 minute is a huge step. Mm-hmm. So never underestimate those tiny steps. And, you know, particularly if you're at the beginning, it can feel like you're miles away from ever fully loving yourself. And by the way, like the no one gets to the point where they're 24/7 loving themselves. Like the shitty committee is here to stay and it's going to get triggered. So I think also, managing your expectations on that one is really important.
Yeah, exactly. And the self-kindness in those moments where you catch yourself, if you feel, you know, you noticed that you're talking in that very critical voice to yourself, in that moment that you notice, it's just being really, really kind to yourself. And that in itself, you know, is a process, of course. But that self-kindness, that could be, you know, such a beautiful intention for the challenge, like just speaking to yourself with that kind voice that you probably most often use with other people. So it's just using it on yourself.
Yeah. And I think also, you know, in that same note with self-kindness and self-compassion, if you miss a day of giving yourself an act of love, 28 days of love, it's okay. Yeah. You haven't failed. You know, every day you do an act of self-love, that's a positive step. So I think, this is, and it's, you know, it's so interesting. I do remember other years noticing, the first time when we did it in 2016, I remember both of us having a few days where we got into right old pickle about our acts of self-love and perfectionism and comparison. And I remember I journaled one day and I was like, this isn't good enough. Vicky's the one that journals, not me. And like, oh my God. You know, it does, because also I have to say, it can have the effect of highlighting all the ways that you're not loving to yourself. And that has definitely come up for me in other years, the ways that I'm not loving to myself and feeling quite alarmed at that and being like, God, far from being loving today, if anything, having to do an act of self-love made me mean to myself and like being the perfectionist in me hijacked 28 days of love for a couple of days. But you know, it's just, it's catching yourself, bringing in that self-compassion, having a bit of a laugh about it. When we shared with one another what was going on, I can't remember what was going on for you, Vicky. I don't know if you remember, but I definitely, mine was like, no, journaling, that's Vicky's thing. And you were like, oh my God, I haven't gotten a monopoly on journaling in this world.
You know what I mean? I know.
A few other people are doing it as well.
It's so crazy.
That's where I went to and got myself in a right old state about it.
I remember I had planned this date with myself and I booked this exhibition to go and take myself, and I was really craving quality time with myself, and I was like, actually, I think the thing that I was craving the most was rest, but instead I decided to take myself to this exhibition that was really, really busy. There was a huge queue out the door to get in, and then I just spent the whole 2 hours wandering around and trying to read, you know, the bits and the like the information about the things in the exhibition, and there was people everywhere, and I just felt really like claustrophobic, like get me out of here. I was on the bus home feeling really disappointed.
I remember.
that I'd plan this, you know, this big sort of gesture again, like this big date with myself. And actually what I really needed was just to have a nap and have a bath.
Mm. Yeah.
So that was a big lesson as well, of like not sort of looking at what well, it's an experiment, isn't it? And that was a lesson that I learned. It was about tuning into what I really needed during that day. And that can be a question in the morning. You know, what would feel really nourishing for me today? What would feel really loving today? And if I'd have asked myself that question rather than probably planning it in advance, I probably would have realized that what I needed was just to rest and stay in for the day.
Yeah, but
that would have felt, you know, the most nourishing thing.
Do you know what, though, what you just said there, you're absolutely right. It's so much of it is about experimenting.
Yeah.
Because if you're not used to the whole notion of self-care and self-love, you might not know what works for you. So for example, you might hear me say, oh, there's nothing, like what really works for me is having a bubble bath. And I know people often say, you know, self-care and self-love is more than having a bubble bath. But actually, genuinely for me, it's a very key tool. There's nothing, something about the warmth, the heat, being in water. And also I think now I've associated it with unwinding. So my brain kind of get, oh, right, we're doing this. Got it. Let go. Yeah. Like relax. Yeah. So for me, it's a really powerful tool. For someone else, they might be like, right, okay, that's what I'm going to do on Wednesday. I'm going to get myself a bubble bath. I'm going to do how Selena does it or how I've seen on Instagram. And you get into the bath, you're lying there and you're just like, I'm not enjoying this at all. Like, this is, should I be enjoying it? Why aren't I enjoying it? What's the matter of me that I'm not enjoying the bubble bath? You know what? It might not be what you needed in that moment. Maybe what you actually need is to go for a run. I don't know. Or what you needed was to actually dance around or listen to some inspiring music or a TED talk. Yeah. To sit in a bath.
Yeah. You
know, that's just not your thing. Or maybe it just wasn't your thing on that day. So it's all right as well to try something like you go to the exhibition. In your mind, it sounded wonderful. And at another time, or maybe in the past you did it and it was wonderful. But in that moment, actually, what you were doing was ignoring what your body and your heart and soul were probably saying, which is like, I've not got the energy for this. I actually just want to have a nap and a bath.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, but also I think sometimes you'll try things because it looks, other people seem to enjoy it. Maybe I will. And you don't. And that's absolutely fine. So now you know that maybe what works for you, you know, to unwind and recharge is going to listen to live music rather than spending a day in at home, pottering around and napping. Like, and also different times you're going to need different things. So I think it's really important to recognize so much of this, like a huge part of this is experimenting.
Yeah.
And a huge part of this is learning to tune back into your body and to listen to what your body is telling you. Because we can have spent years and years and years overriding what our body is telling us so that we just push ourselves on, keep going, head this, get on with it, you know, that sort of, I'm strong, I can do this, I don't need to stop and rest ever. And so it can take a while to actually learn to tune back in and hear what your body is telling you. So I think the whole, if you approach it like an experiment and you understand sometimes my acts of love are going to really hit the spot, sometimes they're not. And that is okay too.
And we talked so much last year. I remember we talked about intention and the fact that it's not about what you do, but the intention of love around it. And that was so key last year.
Mm.
We both realized the importance of that. And so it could be, like one person, you know, is like doing some gratitudes in the morning. Like that feels so loving for them. And for another person, it might be like, no, it just felt like I was going through the motions or, you know, like for them, it's like this sort of like, it could be a HIIT class or something like that, that requires a different energy. As you say, you might have energy for certain things, one week and then other weeks, you know, it's time for more stillness and sort of rest.
Exactly. And, you know, over time, I think that's why I'm finding it easier and easier is I've really spent a lot of time over the years and probably in the past year really understanding and experimenting and being in the kind of discovery of what works for me to kickstart my day feeling positive and energized. What is important for me to rest, you know, looking after my energy bank, looking after, like, you know, what helps me to recharge when I've had a full on week at work Because sometimes, you know, I might feel exhausted, but actually what I need is to go for a run. You know, or sometimes I might feel like, oh, I can't be bothered to go out. But sometimes that's exactly what I need, is to go out. So it's also, you know, it's sometimes it can be a bit tricky to know what you need, because you can feel like you're reading the signs that suggest one thing. But actually, over time, you start to learn, no, you know what, the kind of tiredness I'm feeling now is I actually need to go for a run. Or no, you know what, the tiredness I'm feeling right now will not be helped by a run. What I need to do is not do anything and get into bed at 8 p.m. Like, that's what I need to do. And so, yeah, I think it's just, it's so much of it is about getting to know yourself and learning how to tune into what you actually need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also having a menu, a menu of options. You know, we talk about the wellbeing toolkit. And so I have a list of like, right, when it's a weekend, you know, I really, really ring fence my weekends now. I don't really let any work get into them unless it's a very special occasion. What do I need to recharge? And so I have a whole list of different things that work. So sometimes if nothing comes to mind, I'll look through the list and I'll get, oh, this is appealing. Right, I'm doing that. You know, so I think that's why we encourage people to start 28 Days of Love by writing a list of all sorts of different acts of self-love. So that if you don't find it easy at first, you can pick from your ready-made menu of options. And also, if you can't come up with ideas, we've got a list for you.
Yes.
You don't even have to come up with the ideas yourself. We make it as easy as possible.
Yeah. So yes, this list is on our 28 Days of Love page if you want to have a look and get inspired by all the different acts of love that you could try during these 28 days. And if you would like to join us, we would love you to join us and take part in this. Just head on over to loveprojectlove.com/28days of love and you can read all about how to get involved, get inspired by this list of acts of love that we've just mentioned, and join us. And also share your acts of love on Instagram. We love sharing and celebrating what you've been getting up to and how you've been practicing self-love. Just simply follow us at Love Project Love on Instagram and then use the hashtag 28 days of love 2020,
and we look forward to seeing what other things you get up to over the next few weeks of this self-love challenge.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode, and if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.